As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. He's been a managing editor here before, and now he's paying money to be able to do this podcast. He's Brandon from the internet.
No, I'm just I'm freeloading off of a new person.
Well, neither of us is a scientist, engineer. One of us is a freeloader or a supervillain.
Not yet. Well, I am a freeloader already. The rest of the things, not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong and potentially what we get right would make me feel better. I watched a clip of us being like your brother being like, "We, you know, you guys, you got that wrong." You're like, "Oh yeah, how do you know?" And he's like, "Well, unlike you, I Googled it." So funny. So funny. Shout outs to Steven for listening. That's very nice of you. People can't see this at home, but you have 3 identical boxes stacked on top of each other in the background. I'm curious to know what that is.
It is their box. I wish they were boxes of Adobe Creative Suite, which is not.
But that's just an idea.
That's just an idea.
A physical thing.
Yeah. No, they are boxes of client gifts for my clients for the job that I do, and they are like, have you seen these little pint glasses? They're not pints, right? They're 8 ounces, and they look like glass beer cans with the top cut off.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, we just got like a crap ton of those.
We're having, I think they're 12 ounces, aren't they?
Are they 12? Yeah, sure. Whatever a beer glass is, like a beer can is.
Yeah, it's 12 ounces.
It's one of those. Yeah, so 12 ounces. We just got a bunch of those with our logo on it because you know what everybody wants in their house is their
picture of
their glass
as a
exactly.
logo.
Yeah. No, they want glassware of somebody else's company's logo on it. And so that we were like, yeah, let's give a bunch of those to all of our clients.
With Brandon's service more. We can't use any of this. I can't use any of that. That's all beeped. It was about sex work.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. For the record, not the kind of work I do. Or is it?
I mean, if it sweetens the deal, right?
Man, for me, sex is a lot of work, unfortunately.
You gotta pep talk your wiener, and you gotta
pep talk my wiener makes it sound like I'm asking Pep Guardiola every time I need to have sex. He's like, "Hey, man, can you come in here and give me some motivational?"
That'd be awesome,
wouldn't it?
Is he Portuguese or Spanish?
I see Spanish.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. He's just yelling at your wiener in Spanish.
In Spanish, yeah.
Levant and say.
I listened to this this
that's,
podcast
that's
about
the stand up.
Oh, is that in
Spanish?
In Spanish. Okay, cool. I listened to a podcast about the Premier League, and they do a bit, or they used to do a bit every week where they would do it would be called pep talks, and they would have people send in just their regular questions for like, hey, I'm thinking about breaking up with my girlfriend, you know, what advice do you have? And then the hosts of the show would give advice, but then they would always give advice as if they were Pep Guardiola as well.
Don't teach your apprentice how to do everything because he'll beat you in the league this year, maybe.
Yeah, Mikel Arteta. Jeez.
Well, anyway, hi. Good to see you again after a miscommunication week off that we had last week. So that's nice. Thanks to everyone who subscribed and who's hanging out. If you could spread the word, that would be just fantastic. Now, I've got a question for you, Brandon. Question of the week is, were you too young for Power Rangers, or was it still in your wheelhouse?
Oh, absolutely my wheelhouse. Yeah. My last job that I worked had a team mantra, and in that mantra it was like, we are Mavericks, we are Mavens, and then the third one was like the name of this one of the people's grandmas who was like a cultural like icon of the team, and so they were your Mavericks, Mavens, and Megdas. And as soon as I started, I heard this thing and I was like, and Megazords.
Yeah, for sure. Megazords. Yeah. Like, yeah, obviously this is, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, the Power Rangers are making an, I guess it's a surprise. It's surprising to me. They're making a surprise comeback. Okay. It's surprising to me because I did not realize how old they are now, because they were older than me when it came out, and I am old. And it's been 30 years. They're doing a 30th anniversary scripted standalone special on Netflix with some of the original members. Like the blue guy, he's going to be there. And like not the first Pink Ranger, Amy Jo, whatever. Yeah. She's not going to be there. But the second one's going to jump in. There's the guy that passed away recently.
Yeah.
He's not going to be. If he is there, that is.
He was the Red Ranger.
Right? No, he was the White/Green Ranger.
Oh,
he was
that's like right. Green Ranger. That's
Tommy was his name, I think. Yeah. And he became like the... They added a sixth one or whatever. He was it. So
yeah, Green Ranger was. Did you have a favorite Ranger? Tommy was the Green Ranger was my favorite Ranger.
Mm. Yeah, probably. I imagine because he was like he had that ponytail and he looked badass. And
yeah,
he actually like probably knew some karate. There's a guy that I follow on TikTok. I don't know who he is, but he was in, what's the movie that you like where there's the kids and they're the ninjas?
Oh, Three Ninjas, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was one of the Three Ninjas.
What was that movie about those three ninjas?
They're kids.
They're kids.
Yeah. Three little ninjas, ninjas. And he was one of them. And then he also played the Red Ranger in Power Rangers for a while.
Man, talk about the best way to be typecast of all time. Like, hey, we need a white dude to do karate. Yes!
Hey, you guys need nunchucks? No. Too far. No.
But can you throw playing cards really fast?
That's for the sequel, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so they're making a comeback, but it's not everybody, and it's not the original cast, despite it. If you click through the link, the Blue Ranger, dude, he looks old. Like, he was the nerd as it was, and, like, you scroll down a little bit, and...
Yeah, he looks like, oh my God, like they show the picture of him in the Power Ranger suit now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he looks like...
He looks like the guy that was projected as the head.
Yeah. No, he looks like Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin.
And that was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It's cool to recreate the, I suppose, like do this one-off whatever. But to me, it's like, why not just make... Like, what was cool about the Power Rangers wasn't the fact that we liked the actors that played the characters. It was the fact that they were, like, ninjas fighting robots and ninjas getting in robots and fighting bigger robots. Like, that was what was cool about it. So just remake the Power Rangers with new cast. Like, I don't care. But then do you just, like, do the thing that they're doing with the new Velma series where you just make one of the Rangers really woke? And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm just saying as like a...
That'd be hilarious.
the entire time that anything is happening in the new series, there's one of them going like, "You guys, this is appropriation, right? Like, we are all doing karate. That's appropriation, right?"
Now, I think about this, and to your point about the like it doesn't matter who plays these characters. It's about the Red Ranger with the mask on in a Megazord, or in a Zord combining to make a Megazord.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And I started thinking about it, and like, I hated Power Rangers as a kid because I was just too old for it. I was probably like 8th or 9th grade when it was like real big. And so I was like this, I probably said and I like didn't, I wasn't into it. The stories were super repetitive and everything. But then I think about it and like, I love Godzilla.
Yeah.
I love giant monster, little city, miniature city. Like, it's the best genre. And like, when was it, not Shaun of the Dead, what's the other one with the police?
Oh, Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz, yeah.
Yeah, when they're in that like tiny scale city of, and like the guy gets his chin and the some steeple, ugh, yeah. Awful, yeah, awful. Yeah. But like, Timothy Dalton, awesome. But it was, I like love that. So I have like this fixation with when stuff isn't the right size compared to other stuff. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Big World and Super Mario, where all the enemies are twice as big and Mario's the normal size. Like the Nutcracker, when she's shrunk down and everything's big. I like love that type of juxtaposition. So yeah, you put people into a fighting robot jocks, or Gundam Wing or whatever. Like
Pacific
that stuff.
Rim? Did you?
No,
you...
I didn't watch it. And my friend was one of the like digital animators on it. I never watched it.
People are super into, like, people that I know are really into Pacific Rim. And I was like, it looks like your typical, and I don't know, I don't think it was Michael Bay, but like, it looks like your typical, oh, big robots, massive explosions, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But everybody, like, I've talked to people who are like, no, it's actually a good movie. Like, the story's good and the plot is good and like the actual animation and graphics that they've done are really good. And I was like, yeah, I still can't be bothered to watch it. But now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, it's basically Power Rangers.
It's Guillermo del Toro. I mean, like,
oh yeah. So I gotta watch it now, and I know that I should have done the, like, literally should have just Googled it, Steven.
I did Google it. That's how I do. Nice. So we did the right thing. Yeah, and so I never watched it. My buddy worked on it, and it got panned when it first came out. And I was like, I just like reached out to him, like rough opening day or whatever. Man, sorry to see that. And he got really offended. That he was really sensitive about it. Yeah, I don't think it's what I did. I think it was just that somebody talked to him about it.
Sure, yeah.
And he was like one of these like 3D modelers for it that like made the movie look badass. Like, what a cool job.
Have you, that would be a really cool job. Have you seen the, this is a little bit of a tangent. But,
sure.
But right now, everything feels like remakes, right? Mm-hmm. Like every, new movie, new TV show, blah, 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 is usually just some sort of remake. And then, you know, they're doing it a bunch of different ways where they either bring in, you know, new cast and remake the entire original plot, or they bring in the old cast and do a continuation of the stories like them, but now old, right?
Yeah.
Or
Son of Power Rangers.
Right, exactly.
With Zor-El, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, something like that. Zorn? No, that's... Zorn, that was the quarterback for the Seahawks a long time ago. but I recently got into and I'm not usually into like spinoffs and things like that, but I've recently gotten into a new TV show that I found while looking for something to stream. And
Zordon?
Zordon was the guy. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's called Pennyworth. Have you heard of the show?
No. Is it nerdy?
So it's a spinoff of Batman. So it's the origin story. It's called Pennyworth, the origin of Batman's butler. And it's about Alfred as a young man in London. And the dude that plays Alfred.
Jack Bannon.
Yeah, he is. He does the like a Cockney accent. Sounds so similar to Michael Caine, but without being annoying, like without it seeming like he's doing a Michael Caine impersonation, like he's just doing a Cockney accent, right?
Yeah.
And he's in like all of these actors, including the people who play Americans, are English in the show. But I'm a sucker for like spy thrillers, and then like especially if they're set in like the 50s, 60s kind of era, or like,
so you're like a Kingsman fan, I'm guessing then?
Yeah, the Kingsman was okay. The original one was okay. I really like that movie that came out was called The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was Henry Cavill and another Armie Hammer, who apparently eats people, or like to thinking about eating people. Yeah, he got canceled for that. He doesn't actually eat people, but said some problematic stuff. And
you're talking about me being unexpecting of something. That was it. Wow. Bad news, Brandon. The first thing when I Google Pennyworth, the first result that comes up is, has Pennyworth been canceled?
I think the answer is no. I'm pretty sure they're about to come out with a third season, or they've just come out. I'm just still watching. I just started the second season of it. I think they're in season three or have just finished season
three. As of now, HBO Max hasn't officially given Pennyworth a renewal. And so since that guy's ruining all of that empire of programming, I would say I would be worried.
It is good. I mean, like, the story, it's really good if it were standalone, but to think about it as, like, there's a lot of backstory that would be very significant to Batman's parents. If at any time you ever watched Batman or saw somebody as Batman's butler, you would think, man, if this was truly his backstory, there's a lot that is not said during these Batman movies. So they're like backfilling so much content that would have so much more impact. It's kind of like in Star Wars when they're like, many Bothan spies died getting us these plans, and then you watch Rogue One and you're like, how many of these were Bothan? There were none of these Bothan spies.
That's excellent. Speaking of which, did you I have a question about The Mandalorian, if we can transition, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
My big question after watching the trailer for The Mandalorian Season 3 out early March, like March 3rd, I think.
Yeah, I hope it's the same question I have.
Do you think Baby Yoda, that's all his name is, do you think Baby Yoda gets a helmet?
Dude, that's my question.
Yes!
That is my main question.
Because they keep showing, like, helmets and stuff, and the helmet smith and stuff getting made, and then, what's his name, Mando, and like, to me it feels like Grogu has got to get a helmet, right?
He has to get a helmet. That's like, that has, like, you're going back to Mandalore. The entire thing is that what did he say? He's like trying to be sanctified for his sins against the order or whatever. And if you're going to go with a foundling who is supposed to be now Mandalorian and he's not wearing a helmet, come on, he's got to have a helmet.
And follow up question, do his ears stick out or do they make it wackadoodle and he has like ears on the side of his helmet?
Maybe he'll do what I try to do to my greyhound every once in a while is because he sticks his ears straight back or one of them flops sideways or whatever. They're very floppy and long. I always like, man, could I get a rubber band around those ears and make it look like a little doggy ponytail? So maybe they'll do that with little Grogu's ears.
Maybe not a rubber band. Maybe like a scrunchie or a hair tie.
Right, that's what I mean, like a hair, like a rubber band.
So it doesn't sound like you're trying to like remove his tail or whatever.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, I'm pumped about it. It looks awesome. They really have my attention after the first two seasons. I want to go back and watch it, actually. I got to finish Andor, though. I still haven't done that. I'm like really far behind.
I thought, and do you remember back to when The Mandalorian originally came out, who's that? Pedro Pascal, right? Mm. Is the actor who plays The Mandalorian and also plays every character from every show ever now. I like saw the trailer for The Last of Us and he's in that. He was in that new Nick Cage movies, and like it seems like he's in everything, at least everything that's being targeted towards 31-year-old males living in Spokane, Washington. I thought like there was a big like tug of war between him and the production team about like, no, that you need to write more scenes with my helmet off because I want to be like get the credit as the actor who's playing this character. It's like, yo, you took a character like if you're playing the headless man in a show, they're not going to be like, let's give him a head so everybody knows it's Pedro.
Yeah, exactly. Like, of course. It's what like, did you expect?
The
dude?
Whole thing is your helmet doesn't come off. But now we're, you know, almost three seasons into the thing. And there's only been, I think, one scene where he doesn't have the helmet on, the very end of that first season. So it's just like either they said, here's a bunch of more money, please shut up. Or he is like satisfied with being in everything all the time now. He wasn't in that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, unfortunately. But he is in everything else. Did you see that movie? Sorry, no. I'm going to just assume no, but you should. You would love it.
When was it?
It came out like 2 years ago, I think it came out in 2021.
What's it called?
It's like a multiverse movie, but it's done very, very well. It
came out in 2022. Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, you would love it. you would absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is like in the, I was like, why does this sound familiar to me? And it's because Michelle Yeoh was all over the place recently.
Yeah.
And then that's, and it has the kid from, that played the kid from Indiana Jones that became like a crazy stereotype, and he, and then he cried at the awards ceremony. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You would love it.
Okay. Oh, how do I watch? Oh, never mind. That's, it's like, that's for another thing.
Right.
It's still in theaters. It's playing in North Bend. That's weird. Okay. Well, that's cool.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
All right, well, moving on from one thing to the next, let's pontificating about nerd universes here. That's fun and all, but this is wild, man. NVIDIA, when I say NVIDIA, what comes to mind?
I'm sure I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure like they make face razors, like
NVIDIA, most known for making video cards.
What am I thinking of? It's like there's something.
Nivea,
there you go.
Like one's a lotion, the other one makes helps them mine Bitcoin. Okay, well, anyway, NVIDIA, the nerds we most know for making video cards, has a new AI. They're in all kinds of non-face cream business. But they have a new AI that can artificially make it look like you never break eye contact with your screen. Say if you were on a Zoom call and you wanted to not pay attention and you wanted to be looking at your phone the whole time, you could be looking down, but it will make your eyes look as if you're looking at the camera, which is in itself very creepy. But then, like, what if you have like a lazy eye or some sort of condition like that and you're self-conscious and you could correct that on screen while you were talking to somebody, especially if you were like in a position where it was where you didn't know the person or something. I think that's really cool. Could it correct it that way, or does it make it like even weirder? Like, does it? I'm trying to be sensitive here as well, but and then additionally, like, what happens when we start abusing it, or what happens when there's like social norms that like you're talking to somebody and it never breaks eye contact? Does it have like a limit on this is getting too weird? Like, we get it, you listen to the audiobook on not being awkward in social situations, but you're making it awkward by having like nonstop like stop it, Brandon, he's looking at the screen like a weirdo.
Yeah.
But then like you fall asleep and your eyes are like still looking at the thing, and then like your head nods forward and your eyes are still like looking at the... Oh no, is Dale dead?
Well, okay, so usually I feel like usually the technology like this that comes out is there's like some sort of very...
What is it, the Uncanny Valley? Is that what the thing you always mention
is? Yeah, yeah. Uncanny Valley is when something seems human but isn't, right? Like, or it's like too close to being human but not quite enough to be familiar, yeah. Right? So, no, I feel like usually when people come out with something like this, there's like a, and we've done this in order to help, you know, maybe like maybe this the case that you said, like people with who have like lazy eyes or some sort of disorder,
yeah,
look more attentive or whatever. But this one just seems like they were like, the business case was, let's help people slack off during meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Like, usually that's like the use case. Like, that's how people end up using it. But the way that they market it isn't, let's help you slack off during meetings.
Well, yeah, it's like any technology where it's like, you got to wait to see what porn does with it if you want it to be successful.
Right.
Like, is VR going to be successful? Well, let's see what porn does with it.
She will not stop making eye contact with you.
Yeah, like, please
like,
stop.
No, this makes me uncomfortable.
I'm so uncomfortable. Well, don't stop, but I'm so uncomfortable.
This is this see, but to your point, like this is one of those things where I'll take it to a very like extreme level. So say you know, technology can create these social norms, right? Where it is not normal, or it becomes normal to maybe like make direct eye contact the entire time because this artificial intelligence is making you look like you're always making eye contact. But say you do have a, you know, some sort of sight or eye muscle issue where you do have a lazy eye, and then you go in to meet these people in person, and then all of a sudden it creates this not awkward because you have a like macular degeneration or whatever it might be.
No, not yet.
But awkward because people were not expecting, like, it's like if I use an AI to make me look black in every single one of these videos, and then I met you, boy, and I was like, hey, what's up? And you were like, wait a sec.
wait, are you using digital blackface? Yeah, like,
I don't care that you're white. I'm just surprised.
I don't think that's how that would go at all, but I understand what you're saying.
Like, no, but you know what I mean. Like, it's like you're catfishing in a way, right? And like a like using it for this eye situation is probably the least of, you know, this is an entry into, yeah, something that is more digitally altering your appearance in real time, so that later on when you meet people in person or see people when you're not using this getup, right, people are gonna be like, wait a sec, this is completely different. And not that that looks should justify or change the way that people think about you, but they do. Like, unconscious bias exists. People will make decisions or reactions to you based on like how friendly you might look, and that has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with like biases that have been created through their lifetime. They're,
well, like, you can manipulate it too. I mean, sure, if someone is basing it on friendliness, you can learn to have a softer smile. You can just, mm-hmm, practice that or whatever, just so you can manipulate the situation or whatever.
Right.
Like psychopaths. Yeah. So I think about it with TikTok and stuff. When people make videos, there's a enhance filter that you put on and it softens your skin just enough. It's like subtle and it makes your eyes sparkle a little bit and everything. So that way, like we've conditioned women to have to wear makeup or whatever, and now you could put on that filter because it's too hard to do that. And I'm like, you know, we watch TV and we see, you don't want to see the light reflecting off someone's face, so they put a softening makeup on or a powder that keeps the reflections from happening, or when you sweat or something like that. And so it's just tricks of presentation that we would change depending on being in person or in a digital form. So, like, I see that people use those filters all the time, and like the subtle ones I understand, but then you see people who are masking what they actually look like without realizing that they have it set to 100 out of 100 instead of 10 out of 100. And you're like, obviously you're hiding your own perception of you being gross.
Right.
And like, let us decide if you're gross or not.
I will be a better judge of your grossness than you. Thank you very much.
But again, it's like, it's human condition where we're so worried about our own BS that we over project it. And then people are like, what's this person's problem?
Think about like, I'm sure that even as we do these shows and we record them, right? If I ever listen to them back and I hear my own voice, even your voice sounds different than the way that you hear it in your own head.
Yeah.
Think about, like, another thing that I always think about is, like, you see yourself, the only way that you ever see yourself is in a mirror or in pictures, right? And most of the time, like, you don't actually realize that when you're doing your hair and you think you look a certain way and you have a part on that side, everybody else is seeing it on the other side than you are.
Yeah, because that's like, a reflection, yeah.
Boggles my mind sometimes. I'm like, I don't even know what I really look like. But what I'm waiting for is NVIDIA to give me a filter where I sound like I have Michael Caine's Cockney accent every time I'm on this show.
It's coming, dude. It's for sure. It'll happen. Or you could sound like me.
Yeah. Like well, I'll take Michael Caine.
Yeah, no, Michael Caine. I understand.
Michael Caine. Like,
my buddy Bryce and I had a joke that if he was going to be a rapper, he should name his, he should be called My, like My yeah. Cocaine.
Yeah.
So that feels like
I
a
love
word.
That. Yeah.
Anyway, it's, there's a very simple thing that we do that's really strange that I see on the internet constantly, and it's people too close to their phone, and it's a wide angle camera. And so the trick of it, we've talked about it a little bit, but it makes the sides of your face rounded off more. So you look like you're all jelly bean head and not the normal proportions that you're used to or that people are used to seeing you in with our more like 50 millimeter eyes. And if you just hold the phone an arm's length from your face, that's where it's designed to capture you correctly, you know, air quotes or whatever. So that way you
more
look
accurately,
more like you.
Maybe,
so when you look into the playback, the production, you're not like, oh, I'm disgusting. It happens to me all the time. I hate posting social. And I realized it was just because I was like I was lazy and holding my phone right up to my face and being like, bleh. But if you just arm's length away, it suddenly gives you a more true to self, what you think of self.
And if you hold it, if you hold it at arm's length away and you still think that you're disgusting, we'll be the judge of that.
This is amazing. So NASA says that when we look through the big old telescopes and see distant planets around other stars, if they have plant life, they should reflect light back, indicating as much. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that works, but it must be things within the atmosphere that, like, if you're going to have plant life as we know it. This is a big thing for me, too, recently. I've been thinking a lot about, like, it all has to be as we know it.
Sure.
Like, it's just, we only have such limited information compared to the hundreds of billions of galaxies out there.
There has to be oxygen for there to be life. It's like, well.
Yeah, like, we might understand
life. There must be water.
We might understand life totally differently. Like, the mountains are, let's just simplify it, on Earth. The mountains around us might actually be alive, and we're, like, digging into them to steal their iron or whatever, and we're actually digging into their mountain brains. And it's like the humans have just killed all of the mountains on Earth or whatever because they don't animate the way that we expect or the way that we want them to.
Or think about the world as constantly changing, right? Like tectonically shifting, right? The tectonics of the planet, the geography of the planet is constantly changing. Like maybe we don't recognize life because it doesn't happen as quickly in our, you know, in
perception.
Our time frame, in our perception, as we would anticipate it to.
Yeah. Because the life of a, again, I'll just stay with a very basic metaphor, but the life of a mountain is 4 billion plus years old, and we're watching, or maybe a fraction of that, and we're watching that happen, we can't perceive the time shift. But it also maybe doesn't realize, you know, we're the gnat of it. Probably doesn't have time to realize that we exist either, if there's some sort of consciousness level there. But whatever.
Until we're digging its brains out.
Until we're digging its brain. Yeah, get them brains. But each planet, in theory, gives off a biosignature. Like there's like an atmospheric chemistry, says, I'm reading about it at physphys.org. And so like we might be able to find the types of planet that have similar biosignatures to ours as we're looking for exoplanets far, far away.
We're like a planet that is going around trying to sniff other planets' butts to see what kind of pheromones it's putting off. to see if, like, hey, is this planet horny? No. Okay. Let's move on.
Let's fight it then, in that case.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy to think. Now, I always am brought back to Earth, though, when you think that, literally, that when you think about if we find one of these exoplanets, like, we haven't gotten truly outside of the influence of the sun yet. You know, I guess the Voyager crafts are out, technically have left the solar system, so that is outside of our, but there's like a gray area here because there's the nebulous cloud that surrounds even that, and it's like, be able to get away from the impact of the sun is still something we haven't done. And so that's with 40 plus years in, or 45 years now. I think the first Voyager launched in 77. So 45 years, we're only just getting away. And that's the closest star is 4 light years away. And we haven't even gone a light day away. So finding any of this stuff is still like, yo, we got to not ruin this place first. Like, it's still, yeah, that's still pretty important.
It's like, it's like looking for a new house that you can't afford while the house that you're living in is falling apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dilapidating.
Yeah. Dilapidating. Thank you. It's like,
you're also looking for a house on the moon. Like, right. I'm going to live in a cave on the moon.
Yeah.
I better focus on how I'm going to see that before I buy it.
Yeah.
It's, and then I think about, like, at some point we're going to have to leave the planet because I saw another story that in mice, and mice are not people, so this is, like, the lowest level that you can get of, like, scientific research is, like, that's the very lowest comparison you can make is to animals to humans because it's just not the same and we don't know. But they've figured out how to, like, take the, I'm going to get this really, this needs some research, and I have writing about it somewhere, but you're going to look at the cells in a mouse, and they're able to tell it to reboot effectively and to get producing at a normal, healthy, productive level, meaning that you not only can we stop time from progressing, but you potentially could turn back time in cells to keep them going. Regardless of whatever that is, if they find a way to limit, to slow the aging in people, or even maybe speed it up if you have that type of control, weird. At some point, we got 8+ billion people on the Earth, and we need a billion people a day to die or whatever. That's not a real number, but like we need that to happen because we have 1.01 billion born every day. And it's growing so steadily that imagine if you just shut off the dying part and we just a year from now we had 9 billion and the next year we had 10.4 billion and at infinitum until we run out of resources, oxygen or anything else where we have to go to the stars to get away. Like it's potential that we're going to need to know this information so we shouldn't stop looking for it or understanding it, but also like we got big problems here at the same time. It's very strange.
Didn't we like isn't there also information, I mean like that is crazy if they're able to actually like reduce the really it's like the regeneration of cells, right, that happens in animals that causes aging, and so if they're able to like reduce how quickly aging happens or even reverse it, like that's crazy, but isn't like aren't growth rates or like population like in certain places and actually most of them are like the United States, Germany, Japan, like economically I don't know, not developed. I don't think that's the correct term to use anymore. But like the biggest economies maybe in the world are actually slowing as far as like their or even actually declining in birth rate.
So we tend to incorrectly use first world as the descriptor
right,
for it.
Right.
And there's not a single first world nation that has an increasing population right now. The birth rate is not growing faster than now, and that's probably unfair because like India has like an insane they're insanely important economically.
Well, they're going to be the most populous.
They are
the most populous. Yeah,
they've passed China. They're at like 1.408 billion people, and China
more than 10% of the entire planet's population.
Yeah, and something the size of the United States Midwest between right. the Rocky Mountains and Appalachians. If you put a tenth of the world's population there, it's wild. And so, but they're about to have an economic turn also, and China was the one that was previously the largest, and it's taken for the first time in however long that they can remember, it's taken a downturn in population, which is scaring everybody. But you do that, and suddenly like people stop dying and or stop aging, like. I always come back to the idea that if people stop aging or dying from age-related things, what happens when you get in a car accident when you're 71 but you could have lived for 10,000 years? Like, that's a horror. If anyone dies, the implications are significantly worse for it. It's truly terrifying, and not that death right now is anything to laugh about, but like to know that you missed out on 10,000 years of life or something because you went base jumping at 19 and broke your neck or something like that, that's wild.
Yeah, I wonder how it would change culture, like how it would change society. Because there's movies and shows and stuff like that that will speculate on how it will change and speculate on how morals and values and I mean, realistically, like echelons of people will change, right? Because not everybody will get to live forever, right? Like not everybody will have access to this technology. It's like only the super wealthy or, you know, quote unquote, deemed important people will be able to have access to this and continue to live, where you'll have portions of society. I mean, this is a corny movie, and I
you keep saying all these movies like I'm gonna
I would
watch
guess
them.
That you haven't watched it, but something that plays with this idea is this movie called In Time, starring Justin Timberlake. Mm. And they should have called it Just In Time.
Oh, because, get out of here.
Come on, man. Justin Timberlake's right there. But they basically play with this idea is that you can purchase...
Starring Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake. You can buy... and have and store a wealth of time. And so you have people fighting on the streets to get more time. Time becomes currency, right? Like you can people fighting on the streets in order to get more time, and people living in, you know, decadence who have abundances of time, where if they had shared the time with more people, everybody would be able to live the same amount,
yeah.
Right?
Like, just like wealth now, just a different type of wealth.
I mean, it's a very, very thinly veiled criticism of
the
capitalism 1%. As is. Right, yeah. But it's interesting because I think it and others do a good job of like showing where if aging became not an issue, right? Then how would that change society? I also find it funny in this show because like they picked nobody ages past 25, and so like this movie has said that like 25 is our peak, everything after that is bad, and I'm like, oh man.
You're like, oh man, oh no. I'm the Yoda of this thing, man.
Do you have a helmet with ears or no?
You kind of look like with your beanie on and those, it kind of looks like that a little bit. A truly mind-blowing story from Time.com. Here's what I wrote earlier in the week. Scientists figured out how to get our cells to reboot and continue functioning like they're at their prime, effectively stopping the aging process. So far, they're doing this in mice, but the cells work the same in theory. Time.com says, quote, not only can they age mice on an accelerated timeline, scary, but they can also reverse the effects of that aging and restore some of the biological signs of youthfulness to the animals. So, like... we can not only slow down, but we can speed it up. And then, like why would you do that?
Some of the biological things that are associated with aging, they can reverse. Like, we've talked about this with, like, when we learn how to regrow limbs and thing like that. things like that. It's not that necessarily the issue is regrowing the limb. It's regrowing it to the appropriate age and size of the body as you are with it, right? Like, it's like, great, we can regrow the limb. It's going to, you're 25 right now. It's going to take 25 years for this limb to get to the point where it's 25 years old, but you're going to be 50 with a 25-year-old arm. and then also it has to stop at 25. So like, hey, we can regrow the limb. You're aging at a normal rate, but your arm is aging at 25 times the rate that it should.
I just worry about, like, you go to have this done and your insurance company is like, for the aging thing, they're like, it's an elective procedure. We're not going to pay for it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's realistically.
That's exactly how it'll go, for sure.
Also, it's like, what's bananas to me is that they can make things age faster. And so, like, that's going to be a new, like, once this becomes a thing, right? Like, that's going to be a new criminal punishment. Right? It's like, no, we're not going to sentence you to death. We're going to sentence you to die faster than everybody else.
Or slower.
Oh. We're gonna keep you in this punishment for even longer than you would have if we had sentenced you to life.
Yeah, you get a five, you know, what is it, like a five life sentences or whatever? Yeah. How do you say that?
Yeah.
And like, you're like, okay, well, now we're going to slow down your aging, so you have to sit in this confinement and...
All right, conspiracy theory time. So you know how people do get sentenced to multiple life sentences? Maybe we've always had this technology and like the courts are just waiting for it to come out so that like all of these people that they have sentenced to extremely long amounts of time, they're like, we can't risk the technology coming out and having these people... being able to get out earlier than they would have otherwise.
You have like lawyers fighting on behalf of the state to be like, no, we need this five consecutive life sentences. Yeah. Let's go.
Or like the I remember there was a story about this guy who was legally like dead. He was an inmate. He was in prison and he was had a heart attack or something and died. And he had been sentenced to life. And he was trying to argue with the state. He's like, no, I died. So, therefore, I served my life there.
Also, what about cats in prison? Is there like a number of five life sentences? Like, four more to go. Let's go.
Everybody gets nine lives. All of them are in prison, but you get nine of them.
Well, and let's end on a positive for once here to balance out all the terrible prison talk. Move over solar panels. Now we've got hydro panels too. I don't know if this is necessarily like a new idea. Using the power of the sun, sounds like a solar panel, these planks can extract the H2O from the ambient air and create clean drinking water. I learned about this on Mr. Wizard. You get a tub and a piece of, you put a cup in the bottom of it, and then you put a piece of the saran wrap over the top and a rock in the middle, and as the sun comes up, condensation will form, and it'll drip clean water into your cup, and you can drink that. So it's sort of like that, I guess. Now, like, it's in the wintertime, we probably don't need that now in, like, the Seattle area, for instance. But, like, when it's bone dry, like, and I'm in Sacramento also, it's bone dry for, like, 10 months. Like, you could potentially make this into a way that we keep ourselves from shriveling up and dying. I make a joke that it's like the trisolarans from the three-body problem. If you've read that, then like, cool. But like, what you do is you combine the two. One panel both pulls water out of the air and creates power at the same time. Seems reasonable, right? It powers itself to make this function. And it does feel a little far more... It does feel a little familiar, the whole Star Wars Episode 4, where they're moisture farmers. That's exactly what this is, where sci-fi once again...
Predicted it.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes it come true, because it's just future thinkers without the technology to get it done.
This seems like one of those things that we always talk about, where it's like, scientists have come up with a solution that creates another problem, which is, now there's no moisture in the air. We need that, right? Like, apparently that ambient... But Nivea was behind this. They're taking all of the moisture out of the air so they can sell more lotion.
Yeah, I mean, really what it comes down to is that we've compounded problems on top of one another, and we've got to figure out how to undo that. I'm having a hard time with this, though, in 2023, Brandon. I think it's like doom fatigue that I'm feeling. Okay. And like everything is negative, and it's so fun to conspiracize with things, and it's so fun creatively to let your brain go down these rabbit holes and stuff. And I realized that I started becoming just like a fear monger of robots,
okay,
rather than an absurdist with what the robots could potentially do to your butt. Like, it's like, I feel like we've gotten away from, like, this podcast has tried for the last year to, or this show, whatever, has tried to find a way sometimes to end on a positive, like hydro panels, like we'll be able to, and then, of course, not that you did this, but I would have done it too, we find the problem in it right away. Yeah. It's like the cynicism is off the charts right now. And I want to figure out how to hook up, rather than worry about how it's going to go wrong, I want to figure out how we get, like, the factory that makes the powder Kool-Aid to get in on it. So, like, you're actually, like, pulling Kool-Aid from the air.
we're pulling all of the moisture out of the air, but we're creating Kool-Aid. So.
Yeah. Or, like, how do you pull the moisture out of the air to water the strawberries to power, and then the solar panel also powers the machine that grinds the strawberry up to make the powder, adds the sugar because you got the sugar cane going, and then ultimately it all comes down to you have a factory to make the instant Kool-Aid. And
your house, it's like, that's going to be like a new feature when people buy houses, right? It's going to be like, yeah, it comes equipped with a new water heater and new furnace, and also it makes Tang.
Yeah, man, for when we inevitably go to space.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just it. Like, if you have solar panels, you can, you know, you can return energy to the grid. You can sell the power to the power company. Something to that effect.
My house can sell Kool-Aid back to the city?
Just turn on the tap and it's just Brondo comes out. It's got electrolytes.
So it's good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a movie you've seen.
See, look at that. We did end on a positive note.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this thing up. Let's take all this nonsense that we've gone over today, and what do we learn this week? After all, this is a very heady show.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I want on-demand Kool-Aid sucked right out of the air, obviously. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that NVIDIA does not make lotion. did you learn anything else this week?
I learned that, like, that you're like the, what is it, like a ska legend. You love old Tommy Two Tone, your favorite Power Rangers former member.
Oh, dude, and I do like ska.
I know, see? What, know. You played the saxophone, right?
Yeah, I played saxophone, and I even, temporarily played in the ska band.
I don't know what that means, but I'm for it.
I, like, filled in for the other saxophone player for, like, two shows.
Favorite saxophone, alto or baritone, or I guess soprano if you're so weird.
You've forgotten my actual favorite of all of those things that you've just listed. I played the alto was what I learned on.
Like everybody.
Right. But then what I ended up playing in jazz band, and I was also in a Dixieland band for
yes!
a sec. I played the tenor sax, and the tenor is my favorite of all of the saxophones.
It's like reasonably big, right? It's not like the guy in the subway that's like playing the...
That's the baritone. Yeah, that guy's playing the baritone. That's the one that comes, the mouthpiece comes up and it loops up and back around and then down.
Yeah.
Because I think if they didn't do that, it would be like even longer.
Yeah.
The a couple fun facts about saxophones, if we have the time.
Yeah, no, hold on. Let's just start the music again. Hold on. Okay.
All right. Here's what you can learn this week about saxophones. First of all, saxophones have the same fingering
as your mom.
As your mom.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I've met your mom. That's not very nice, but you left the door wide open. Next time on Nerd Talk, we're gonna learn about saxophones. Okay. Next Tuesday, 10 a.m.
Okay.
Live on the Odyssey app. Thanks so much for joining us. You can get this on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode of just saxophone talk. No one will ever stop listening to that.
Yeah, I still have my saxophone.
Next week, you're playing the intro, okay?
Heck yeah.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A truly mind-blowing story from Time.com. Here's what I wrote earlier in the week. Scientists figured out how to get our cells to reboot and continue functioning like they're at their prime, effectively stopping the aging process. So far, they're doing this in mice, but the cells work the same in theory. Time.com says, quote, not only can they age mice on an accelerated timeline, scary, but they can also reverse the effects of that aging and restore some of the biological signs of youthfulness to the animals. So, like, we can not only slow down, but we can speed it up. And then, like why would you do that?
Some of the biological things that are associated with aging, they can reverse. Like, we've talked about this with, like, when we learn how to regrow limbs and things like that. It's not necessarily the issue is regrowing the limb. It's regrowing it to the appropriate age and size of the body as you are with it, right? Like, it's like, great, we can regrow the limb. It's going to, you're 25 right now. It's going to take 25 years for this limb to get to the point where it's 25 years old, but you're going to be 50 with a 25-year-old arm. and then also it has to stop at 25. So, like, hey, we can regrow the limb. You're aging at a normal rate, but your arm is aging at 25 times the rate that it should.
I just worry about, like, you go to have this done and your insurance company is like, for the aging thing, they're like, it's an elective procedure, we're not going to pay for it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's
exactly how it'll go, for
yeah.
Sure.
Also, it's like, what's bananas to me is that they can make things age faster, and so, like, that's going to be a new, like, once this becomes a thing, right, like, that's going to be a new criminal punishment, right? It's like, no, we're not going to sentence you to death, we're going to sentence you to die faster than everybody else.
Or slow,
oh. We're gonna keep you in this punishment for even longer than you would have if we had sentenced you to life.
Yeah, you get a five, you know, what is it, like a five life sentences or whatever? Yeah. How do you say that?
Yeah.
And like you're okay, well, now we're gonna slow down your aging, so you have to sit in this confinement and
all right, conspiracy theory time. So you know how like people do get sentenced to multiple life sentences? Maybe we've always had this technology and like the courts are just waiting for it to come out so that like all of these people that they have sentenced to extremely long amounts of time, they're like, we can't risk the technology coming out and having these people being able to get out earlier than they would have otherwise.
You have like lawyers fighting on behalf of the state to be like, no, we need this five consecutive life sentences. Yeah. Let's go.
Or like the, I remember there was a story about this guy who was legally like dead. He was an inmate. He was in prison and he was had a heart attack or something and died. And he had been sentenced to life. And he was trying to argue with the state. He's like, no, I died. So therefore, I served my life there.
Also, what about cats in prison? Is there like a number of like five life sentences? Like four more to go. Let's go.
Everybody Buttons. Gets nine lives. All of them are in prison, but you get nine of them.
Well, and let's end on a positive for once here to balance out all the terrible prison talk. Move over solar panels. Now we've got hydro panels, too. I don't know if this is necessarily like a new idea. Using the power of the sun, sounds like a solar panel, these planks can extract the H2O from the ambient air and create clean drinking water. I learned about this on Mr. Wizard. You get a tub and a piece of... you put a cup in the bottom of it, and then you put a piece of the saran wrap over the top and a rock in the middle, and as the sun comes up, it'll condensation will form, and it'll drip clean water into your cup, and you can drink that. So it's sort of like that, I guess. Now, like, it's in the wintertime, we probably don't need that now in, like, the Seattle area, for instance. But, like, when it's bone dry, like, I'm in Sacramento also, it's bone dry for, like, 10 months. Like, you could... potentially make this into a way that we keep ourselves from shriveling up and dying. I make a joke that it's like the trisolarins from the three body problem. If you've read that, then like, cool. But like, what you do is you combine the two. One panel both pulls water out of the air and creates power at the same time. Seems reasonable, right? It powers itself to make this function. And it does feel a little far more... It does feel a little familiar, the whole Star Wars Episode 4, where they're moisture farmers. That's exactly what this is, where sci-fi once again...
Predicted it.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes it come true, because it's just future thinkers without the technology to get it done.
This seems like one of those things that we always talk about, where it's like, scientists have come up with a solution that creates another problem, which is, now there's no moisture in the air. We need that, right? Like, apparently that ambient... But Nivea was behind this. They're taking all of the moisture out of the air so they can sell more lotion.
Yeah, I mean, really what it comes down to is that we've compounded problems on top of one another, and we've got to figure out how to undo that. I'm having a hard time with this, though, in 2023, Brandon. I think it's like doom fatigue that I'm feeling. Okay. And like, everything is negative, and it's so fun to conspiracize with things, and it's so fun creatively to let your brain go down these rabbit holes and stuff. And I realized that I started becoming just like a fear monger of robots,
okay,
rather than an absurdist with what the robots could potentially do to your butt. Like, it's like, I feel like we've gotten away from, like, this podcast has tried for the last year to, or this show, whatever, has tried to find a way sometimes to end on a positive, like hydro panels, like we'll be able to, and then, of course, not that you did this, but I would have done it too, we find the problem in it right away. Yeah. It's like the cynicism is off the charts right now. And I want to figure out how to hook up, rather than worry about how it's going to go wrong, I want to figure out how we get, like, the factory that makes the powder Kool-Aid to get in on it. So, like, you're actually, like, pulling Kool-Aid from the air.
we're pulling all of the moisture out of the air, but we're creating Kool-Aid. So.
Yeah. Or, like, how do you pull the moisture out of the air to water the strawberries to power, and then the solar panel also powers the machine that grinds the strawberry up to make the powder, adds the sugar, because you got the sugar cane going. And then ultimately it all comes down to you have a factory to make the instant Kool-Aid.
Your house, it's like, that's going to be like a new feature when people buy houses, right? It's going to be like, yeah, it comes equipped with a new water heater and new furnace, and also it makes Tang.
Yeah, man, for when we inevitably go to space. But yeah, that's just it. Like, if you have solar panels, you can, you know, you can return energy to the grid. You can sell the power to the power company. Something to that effect.
My house can sell Kool-Aid back to the city?
Let's just turn on the tap and it's just Brondo comes out. It's got electrolytes.
So it's good for you. Yeah. Hey, there's a movie you've seen.
See, look at that. We did end on a positive note.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this thing up. Let's take all this nonsense that we've gone over today, and what do we learn this week? After all, this is a very heady show.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I want on-demand Kool-Aid sucked right out of the air, obviously. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that NVIDIA does not make lotion. Did you learn anything else this week?
I learned that that you're like the, what is it, like a ska legend. You love old Tommy Two Tone, your favorite Power Rangers former member.
Oh, dude, and I do like ska.
I know, see? What, you played the saxophone, right?
Yeah, I played saxophone, and I even, temporarily played in the ska band.
I don't know what that means, but I'm for it.
I, filled in for the other saxophone player for, two shows.
Before we go, favorite saxophone, alto or baritone or, I guess, soprano, if you're so weird.
You've forgotten my actual favorite of all of those things that you've just listed. I played the alto was what I learned on.
Like everybody.
Right. But then what I ended up playing in jazz band, and I was also in a Dixieland band for
yes!
a sec. I played the tenor sax, and the tenor is my favorite of all of the saxophones.
It's like reasonably big, right? It's not right. Like the guy in the subway that's like playing the...
That's the baritone. Yeah. That guy's playing the baritone. That's the one that comes, the mouthpiece comes up and it loops up and back around and then down.
Yeah.
Because I think if they didn't do that, it would be like even longer.
Yeah.
A couple fun facts about saxophones, if we have the time.
Yeah, no, hold on. Let's just start the music again. Hold on. Okay.
All right. Here's what you can learn this week about saxophones. First of all, saxophones have the same fingering
as your mom.
As your mom.
Nerd talk, yeah.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I've met your mom. That's not very nice, but you left the door wide open. Next time on Nerd Talk, we're going to learn about saxophones, okay? Next Tuesday, 10 a.m.,
okay.
Live on the Odyssey app. Thanks so much for joining us. You can get this on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode of just saxophone talk. No one will ever stop listening to that.
Yeah, I still have my saxophone.
Next week, you're playing the intro, okay?
Heck yeah.